All right. Hello, hello. Good day to everyone.
This is maybe the longest intro in podcasting. Thank you so much for joining me again today, and thank you for your self-realization and all that you are becoming aware of. Thank you so much. This is Project Review of Q Homesteading, and today I'll work on the beginning here. Regarding U.S. Marshals and how to utilize them. I'll just give one example of utilizing our due process. But there's a lot of different ways you can utilize them. So today I'll just focus on the obvious citing opportunity you might utilize regarding civil service individuals coming trespassing on your property and so forth. And so I would refer to the documents on BVS Radio, PRQ Homestead, the PDF there for downloading. Those tools are extremely powerful because the case law is embedded in them. So let me go get them up again just to make sure I didn't. A little unorganized today. Make sure I'm reciting them correctly. In any event, the most marshal offices, out of respect and appreciation for their process, is to file your claim in U.S. District Court. So you'll all have federal courts in your states. Some states have 2, 3, 4. And then you make your claim and get a bench ruling in most cases if you articulate it correctly. Otherwise, you go to court and make your claim that this person did this with the two documents that are up there on the webpage. I want to make sure they are up on the webpage. The reason you do it that way is because now they're accountable. Forgive the silence here. They're accountable now to do what the federal court says to do. And so again, on the PRQ Homestead banner on BBS Radio, you hit the click here PDF file. Thank you very much, BBS Radio and the PRQ team, for doing this. So you want to use the no trespassing sign posting notice as one of your evidence if we were citing someone for trespassing. And you concurrently use the notice to public servants, agents, or other persons and make sure it's completely filled out. And file that with your U.S. District Court claim and recite the issue at hand. There's a lot of different ways to use the U.S. Marshal's Office, but they really appreciate their due process and have a lot of respect for it, and it is fairly efficient. Federal courts aren't as bogged down as your county courts, state courts, in most cases, so it is pretty efficient. Filing fee, I believe, is $225, depending on your region. Maybe it's $250 now. Anyway, you'll get an interview. In this example I'm giving, you'd get an interview with the regional director, assuming your claim was validated. And then they would take action on whatever the citing event was. Now, most cases, they'll have a review with the defendant, and especially if it's civil, and they'll give them a document with all of your claims, and they'll cite them as well. And then it escalates or de-escalates from there, depending on the actions the defendant takes. So that's, in most cases, how to efficiently utilize U.S. Marshal. This came from a question from last week. is why we're going over this today. I have some examples where I've seen people call the regional director of U.S. Marshals and ask them for help. And in most cases, they make a log file, but they'll still want you to utilize their district court. And they're almost always in the same building, too. They literally go downstairs and can talk to the judge. In most cases, with trespassing, a judge won't have a hearing per se. Just he'll make a ruling right then and there. And then you'll ask and request in your claim to have the U.S. Marshal observe the activities. So in most cases, I'll give another example. Most cases with sheriffs, if a sheriff trespasses on you, usually don't have to get the U.S. Marshal involved because of your citation, excuse me, your public notice has the case law in it, and usually their directors, their legal assistants will steer them correctly and remind them that they've sworn oath to the United States Constitution. Sorry, a little winded here, just getting up speed. Anyway, so I hope that was some help. There are other ways to get U.S. Marshals involved, but that's the way I would like to present the material today, so that it keeps us clean and, let's say, professional with grace. Our beautiful grace can really, really show the perfect intentions through a court system, even though I don't believe in courts, tennis courts. But it's the path of least resistance, and in most cases, we have to teach. How am I doing? We back on? All right. Thank you very much. Okay, so I'll be being interviewed in between timelines and PRQ, Project VQ. So stay tuned for that as well. And that'll be the lovely Robin. I'm going to call it the Robin Show because I don't know the name of her show. So not a very good wigman for her. Sorry, Rob. All right, let's have some calls. Current phone list. Christine from New York on line 3 has been looking at BLM website and wants to know which patents are legacy patents. Christine on line 3, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, hello.
Hi. I have been looking at the BLM website for San Diego County, and there are numerous land patents on that website. Most of them that I have seen so far, or many of them, are from the 1800s. Are these what you are calling legacy land patents?
Yeah, you want the earliest one. So you would like to have you'd like to know your geography, and then you can check, your territory, parcel number or otherwise, and observe the chain of title. But in most cases, most of the land patents start in the 1800s, when the act was created. Let's see. I'm going to go look one up just to make sure.
Okay.
I'd say most of them are going to be on the West Coast. I'd say between probably 1850 to 1860. Should be a huge bundle of them, and easily by 1860. Somewhere right in there, 1863, 64 should be a really good swath in the California area. But as one of our faithful callers in has noted, that there's even a land grant from Mexico to our country. So you might find something older that could support that.
Okay.
But yeah, it looks like you're on the hunt there, and you should be able to get a copy of one. Just make sure it's in the area that you want to possess land. Thank you for your call.
I have another question if you have time.
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Will a land patent override an HMO that was written into a deed?
Yes, it should, because a deed is a lower form of title.
It is. Okay.
Now, didn't say you wouldn't have to work hard to teach that and educate, but the very first purveyor, the very first person to possess land per the United States of America is the very highest form of title. That's what it was intended to. And so now there could be successors on an existing land patent. So that's why you want to look at chain of titles to see if somebody came back and repatented it.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you. You betcha. All right. All right. Well, Chatty Cathy, not as disheveled as I was a minute ago. So you, when you do this work and you travel and so forth, you forget about time a lot. And so it's, and then as you go through the ascension cycle, your priorities are really light. You really have a lot of fun. And then these commitments you make, your legacy commitments you make, you forgot. So it's really cool to quit thinking, but it has its penalties too. So thank you. All right, let's do Jennifer from Arizona on line two. Where are people having luck posting their public notice in the government buildings? Jennifer, what do you have there, Jennifer?
Yes, hello. I was, hello, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Hello,
thank
hello.
You so much.
Okay, great. So in executing step three, posting our public notice, we went to the county recorder's office and they said they didn't have a bulletin board. So then we went to a couple libraries and they would not approve posting our notice. And then also we went to the post office, but their bulletin boards are all encased and there's nothing public about them. Everything is just pertaining to postal service. And it was the holiday. The line was super long. So we just moved on and thought that, okay, we'll just call in and see where we can have some luck posting.
Okay. So thank you for your question. Several people I'm aware of come across this issue as well. Interesting in the timing, though, because that's how all of us used to be able to post public notices, was at the post office. And so I'm finding it very interesting as we get momentum here this year that some of these resources and services that we are accustomed to are starting to slip away from us. Anyway, idea that has been observed is some of these small grocery stores have postal services in them, like a P.O. box and otherwise. If there is U.S. Postal Service being delivered there, so it's Jim's iMail and Copy Centers, folks mm-hmm. like that, that's considered a public representation. And they love to go ahead and charge you $25 a month and hang it up on their bulletin board. So there should be something like that in your area.
Okay, we'll give that a try then.
Phoenix or otherwise. And then you can also, to cover yourself, you can put an ad in the newspaper.
Okay. All right, so, very good. We'll give that a go.
Thank you very much. So, thank you.
Okay, I have one more question. It's real quick, if you don't mind. HOA, yes. We're involved in it. Homeowners Association, how will this affect any of those, guidelines that they have with their bylaws and everything?
They're going to love you. They're going to love you so much.
Good.
It's my
okay.
favorite. I've been waiting months for this question because a lot of these HOAs are turning into little micro towns, aren't they? They have a board of directors,
yeah.
A mayor almost. And by the way, if you use too much water, we're going to come turn it off on you. I have witnessed that. They let the water department turn your water off and so forth. A lot of cute little moves these little micro communities, gated communities are doing. So it will be my great, great passion to do an HOA, a land patent within an HOA. It also be my first nightmare too, in some respects, because you're going to have to educate everyone in the HOA that you're doing the right thing and they're not. And the reason I always felt HOAs were going to be a tough one, not necessarily for you, but the HOAs I've observed, they have a lot of senior citizens, a lot of people who don't understand, don't even really care, and they go there for solitude, and they have an HOA because they think it's safer. And so they don't want to give up those rules and regs of the HOA because they think it's the better of both evils. Can you land patent while having a home in an HOA? No problem. Could it overlap on everybody else's property? 100% it will. Mm-hmm. So defining your parcel and your position within the land patent will be very, very important. But it will be really fun. Be super fun. And you won't have any problems not paying HOA dues anymore and improvements to the facilities. And you'll have no problem supporting that information if you educate yourself on the case law that's provided in this packet. Does that help a little bit?
Yeah, just but how would we go about, like if we need a road improvement, how would we go about that? How do we go about hiring people to do landscaping on common area, that kind of thing?
Okay, so what if you got the entire HOA to do homesteading? What if you got the entire one?
Uh-huh.
How many? They're usually about 400 homes, right? How many homes are in yours?
We have about 15.
15, so it's really small. So how,
yeah.
So that's pretty easy to get 15 people organized to do all these things, right? What's the difference mm-hmm. between pitching in and doing it yourself, or putting a slush fund together
mm-hmm.
monthly, annually? Now you're in control, not somebody else. It doesn't sound mm-hmm. like you have a very complicated HOA if you only have 15 people. So if now you have 15 homes to educate on that we're going to homestead and not pay taxes anymore.
Right, right. Yeah, I think it might be doable. So, okay, very good. I appreciate the input.
Thanks. Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks. Things are good. Sure.
Okay, so, yeah, that would be fun to see a bigger one in California. There's a lot in Palm Springs area. That would be really fun to see a couple of those. A little choppy on my response there, but let's talk to line four. We haven't talked to Mike and Leah for a while from Michigan. And line four updates on success in Michigan with their homesteading. All right, let's hear it. Let's hear it, line four.
Hello.
Hello, Jim.
Hello. Hey, how are we all making out there?
We're doing great. We actually just filed this past week. We filed our declaration of forever benefits on all three of our properties.
Okay, great. And then any feedback from the county assessor? How'd they feel about that?
It was absolutely smooth. Not a problem at all. They actually helped us. We were missing the date, 18th on one of our documents, and they helped us.
Okay, yeah. Great. And then what did you guys do for public notice? Did you just go to the post office, or how did you put up a public notice?
So, yep, so that was something we did. We were able to put it at our post office at first because it was a new guy, and he said, sure, I don't know, I'm new. So he put it up, but then two days later they took it down, and Mike went in there, and they said, yeah, we don't do that.
Right.
So we ended up, Mike went down to our library and talked to the librarian in our local library, and they allowed it.
Okay, great.
So I heard the caller just before, and she wasn't able to, so I would just keep trying.
Yeah, we did have to sweet talk the librarian a little bit, though. She was a little bit uncomfortable doing it.
Yeah, most libraries, they're real comfortable putting up a rock band poster, but once it gets legal, it's
right.
A little funny, I know. Okay, that's great. Okay, so what did you learn about the process going from this point on? How many days are we into it now?
What are we at? I mean,
close to 40.
Okay, 40. Yeah. So you're already in the clear here. All right. So when throughout the process, did you feel empowered? Like, I'm doing something that matters myself. It's pretty interesting how it, once it gets in you, it gives you more speed, because so you can actually prove that is your passion working there, can't you?
Absolutely.
Yes. And I feel like it's empowering you, feeling like you're contributing to society, but also the amount of other things that you don't even realize that are starting to kind of synchronize and kind of, you know, come into our overall, what we want to do in life. It's just all starting to come together.
Yeah, that's what we want to talk about, too. We do have a couple questions, but then we want to talk about all the synchronicities, if we have time.
You betcha. Okay. So the PRQ team, the feedback they're getting, and or myself in my experiences, is when you go and work with BLM, they're unaware as well. So we're indirectly teaching so many people as we walk this process. And you can see how our spirit and our annealment with spirit does work with this kind of granular intrinsic activity. It does get excited, and you can see how the Constitution had a lot of spiritual backbone to it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Very good. Please, what are your questions? Thank you so much for your statement.
Okay, so I just want to clarify just a few things. So I know Robin had called in last week, and she'd asked about sending or putting up the Narlo signs, which we have those already. We've got a bunch of them. They are big, huge signs. I encourage everybody to get on there and order. They're very durable.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we've got those, and I know you said we could put those up right away, and then you said to send the letters that you were just talking about at the beginning of the show. But my question is, if our full 90 days is not up until about mid-February, would we want to send those letters to all those, to the county sheriff and all of those people? Would we want to send those now, or would we want to wait until the full 90 days so that, you know, there's still time for someone to try to refute or try to claim, which I don't think is going to happen. But so that was my question. Would we send it now?
I would wait till your duration is completed as well, and most people do. Just, you know, poking the bear doesn't help anybody, does it?
Okay, that's what I thought. So yeah. Then, to go along with that, our mortgage, so we're going to stop paying that. At what point do we send them a letter? We wait till the 90 days is up as well?
Most people will, I've seen it go both ways. If you give them notice on the front end or the back end, doesn't really matter because you've already given public notice. I've seen foreclosures, and the banks never got notification, and the case went through trial, and it was not relevant. I've seen about 8 of them. So it doesn't really matter that they get notice because you've already created public notice.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying...
Okay, great.
I'm not saying these bank lawyers are really good, though. So I'm not going to create an absolution on that, but... their biggest trick so far, if you do quit, give them notice and do quit making payments, they usually just sell the debt and don't want to do anything, as we've talked about before. But their biggest tool is to have an emergency land surveyed activity. They make it into many different terms so that they can prove that your geography and your title is different than what is on title for the bank loan. That's been their best trick so far. And some reason, these county courts, they think that's fine. But hey, the bank, these lawyers are paying the $250 filing fee, and the court probably doesn't care. They got their money. So that's been great. That's been the only one that I've seen some minor success, because now you have to prove what is your geography of your territory and your land and so forth. And you're speaking a different language because they speak parcel language and you speak now land patent language.
Okay. Yep, I got
but
it.
But I'm with you. It doesn't matter. You don't have to give them notice. You already gave public notice. You told the whole world.
Okay. So we want to give a little. Well, we just want to give a little update on like our coffee shop community center. That's like we're really starting to really go with this stuff now. So this is where the synchronicities are starting. So we're just doing a little bit as we can, and we just we've realized that water. So obviously water has been talked about in all these last shows here. We understand the importance of water and that structured water is so important, and it's the key, I believe, to the success of our building. So if we can offer good, clean, structured water, we're going to help enlighten our community. So why don't you go ahead?
Mm-hmm. So we purchased this system from World Living Water Company, and they're in Vancouver, Canada. So, and it's supposed to recharge the water as it goes through your pipes. And we're hoping that we're going to try it at home first and then try it on our business after a little bit. But we were hoping to hear if you had any experience with them.
Okay. So this is the Vortice technology. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. You probably spoke with someone from, I think he's Austrian.
From Canada?
Yeah, he was. Okay, who did we talk to?
There's a Michael Lund.
Yeah, Michael Lund, yep.
Anyway, yeah, it works really good. So I played with their technology. It's a very ancient technology, by the way. And okay. The term turning water into wine into water is true with a vortex. Now notice the rifling is the opposite direction you'd expect it to be too. So we take one. Did you just get a 1-inch or 2-inch vortex? It's probably copper, correct?
Yeah, we got a three-quarter inch that'll slip right into our water line.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Watch what you can do. So buy a reasonably average bottle of wine and pour it through that pipe into a glass. Obviously, you need a funnel three times, and do one glass of wine without going through the vortex, and it will blow your mind.
And great, okay. Great advice. Love it.
Every woman in the world will want one on their shower head because it creates that vortice, and it's outstandingly healthy for your continuity of your body, annealing to the spirit too. So if you can make a vortice, now you can do it in your dream state, we'll call it, as well, in your shower, make the water go counterclockwise. I'm sure you've heard Billy and Jane talk about it at times. You can do it on your own, but if you have that vortex, you know, if you have that vortice water coming over your body, imagine how therapeutic that is.
Absolutely. And I have one more thing to say, Q. I just want to tell, this is just for, like, hopefully everybody listening can, I just want to tell them how much we submit to BBS. We constantly submit our ideas and our updates. The synchronicities now and the people calling, how it's just worked. We just met this morning with a guy. We've been running a brewery in our place. He contacted on a Facebook post, and then we have people from Montana calling now. It's exciting, and I want everybody to know, just keep doing what you say to do, because it felt like it started a little slow, but things are just exploding, I feel like, now.
Very good, very good. So as we speak, when we say we love each other, it actually goes to everyone. When we have intentions that are pure, it actually goes out into your dimensional reality. I guarantee you, the submittals to us are absolutely your passion. So they have the energetics and the intentions are going to go somewhere, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
It's not a dead end. It's millions of people asked why I didn't call them last week. But that's the intentions. They want to talk about their project. They want to do something. That is how powerful we are. And then it just shows up. It just starts showing up and showing up. It's incredible.
And that's how it works. It's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your call. Any other questions?
Well, just one last thing I just wanted to say. You know, back before the election, you said, I wonder what's going to happen in November. And you said, I think heaven is coming down. And it is. Heaven is here. And we are all creating it together. Like, it's here. It's so exciting.
Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging yourself and just being a mirror for yourself. I commend you all for just brilliant, brilliant. Just appreciate your feedback and all the love you give. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for all your help.
All right. Very good. Very good. Thank you for that call. Wow. That makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it? When we get to see individuals walk in the talk, I love it. This is probably the best title of all the callers. Don't want to knock anybody's titles, but Conscious Cowboy from Washington on line one, creative legacy and land acquisition. Conscious Cowboy, are you there?
I am here. Hello, hello.
Right on. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw is right. Yes. So thank you for taking my call. So my question is about my project land that involves my group. And I'll be moving to that land as soon as I can take possession. Now, in the past, I thought I would acquire that land through a beneficiary. So that hasn't transpired, but it's occurred to me, I've come to realize that I'll be able to purchase the land for the entire group project through an old contract that's about to be paid out with the new financial system that's coming. Am I on the right track?
Correct. We found several opportunities like you're explaining. We've seen parks being donated to a county, state, or town that came from a original patentee or homesteader. So you can repatent land as a successor, even though state, county has had it donated to them or otherwise and turned it into a park. So those ones are pretty fun. Then that's fairly similar to what you have there, but you have a legacy contract on the backside of it. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. And but it's not meant to be paid out until the financial system switches over.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep. And those are really clever and they're really efficient. It shouldn't have any problems there.
So my next question is about the land patent. I'm excited to get started. Can I start the land patent process before I take possession, knowing that I'm going to be taking possession pretty soon?
Yeah. Is there people in possession of the land now?
Well, the land patent. Yeah. Well, there are people that own it, but the original land patent that I can find goes back to the 1820s. And it's a company, but it's the only entry that it has. It doesn't say homestead. It says the cash entry sale. I'm assuming for our purposes that's considered, you know, original land patent that we can use for our homesteading project. Is that correct?
That's correct. So yeah. I'll show you a couple tricks I've observed. You didn't hear it from me. can put a mailbox somewhere obscure on the property, stake it with your claims, with your paperwork, and maybe put a tent on it or something, and have some mail delivered to you. Good to go, in my opinion.
Fantastic. That was rolling around in the back of my mind, so I'm so glad you brought that forward. That is absolutely beautiful. The synchronicity is incredible.
You know, we've gone down the road so far backwards. Why
a little aggression might not be a bad idea here and there. And I don't mean aggression in a negative way. I mean, if we're truly going to be a successor, we have to really make a claim that we're the successor. So all these rules have been made around us before we were born. So we're doing the noble thing. And when you use your heart to do the noble thing, it just works. It just does.
Well, in fact, you know, every time I'm up on that land, the elementals keep wondering why we don't stay. It's pretty amazing. So this is good news.
Yeah, I loved watching the Ballard girls go, as we're calling them, although there's males in their group there. We found them a piece of property that I can't wait to help them with. And it's not important how I know it was a good fit for them, but they went and walked that property, and every one of them had an experience of their own and knew that it just felt like the right place. Now, how does that work? The land wants you to be a participant, doesn't it?
Well, the land knows us. And it's a legacy knowing for sure. And it's real, and you just know it, and you can trust that knowing for sure.
Home is where the heart is, huh? All right. Any other questions?
Let's see. I don't believe I have any other questions. I do have one other question. It was something you mentioned about land that a county park thinks that they own. And you said that can also be included in the land patent. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, so we found a lot of different variables with that that statement. Let's see. We found one case where an owner passed away of a legacy land patent, and the family sold it. And then that person passed away, and the family that passed, the second family that passed away, donated it to a county. Unconditional to make it a park. And then the county had it improved, and then all right, so the successor.
So I lost you right after the county approved.
Okay, so sorry about that. Comes with the territory. Anyway, the succession was given away to a county. The county was required to turn it into a park, and they didn't. They put another lease on it. And tax the leasee. So we got them pretty good here. So that, how do you tax land? And that's why they did it without claiming they did it. They're making revenue off of a lease agreement for a private investor to build a home. Okay, so those ones are really easy to take out from underneath these people. They don't know that they're doing anything wrong. It's that they've never understood federal laws. So I'm a huge fan of what you're up to there.
Okay, fantastic. All right. Well, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for talking with me, and thank you for making a show for me. My love to you. All right, thank you for the call, Conscious Cowboy. I wonder if he's on his horse when he talks to us. I didn't hear a horse, though. Probably out back. Okay, let's see. We got Mike next from New York on line 5. Can we use the marshals to tell the county to remove the property from the tax rolls? Very nice. Very nice. Mike from New York, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
So last week I heard you.
Go ahead.
Last week I heard you talking about how we can protect the homesteading once we do it. And I was thinking, what if we were to send letters to all the all the different organizations that tax that specific property. Property, school taxes, you know, town, city, whatever. And tell them to stop. And if they don't, then you'll go and tell the marshals and have the marshals send them a letter telling them to stop because they're embarrassing you on your land. Actually, they're impinging on the title of the land, claiming that they have the authority to tax it when they don't.
Absolutely. Okay, now, that's why I'm a little careful with my words today on the topic, because now we're not defending, we're now offensive, aren't we? And but we're going to go forward now, and we're going to go ahead and make a claim that there is an illegitimate taxation going on federal land. We don't have federal land tax, do we? So that's what I really wanted everyone to start noticing is, and I'm still in shock that I don't have a tremendous amount of lawyers reaching out to me to make all of these filings, because it's quite obvious we're not taxed on federal land. So I'm in complete agreement with your statement. But now we're going to go offensive. It has a little different intention, doesn't it?
Well, it depends. It's an offensive maneuver, yes, but sorry to sound like a tactician here, but it would be considered a preliminary strike. You're in defensive posture, and somebody's trying to attack the title of you, of your property. And so that's an offense against you. Now you have to tell them to stop.
You know, there's just so many beautiful lawyers that when they get involved, they get things done. Bobby Kennedy is an example. Now, that's someone who's really passionate about creating freedom and fairness, health, safety, etc. So if that's you and that's your passion, then you got to go nuts with it, don't you?
Yeah. And as you know, this is my passion. The whole thing. That was my project.
That's right. Right. I'm speaking for you, speaking with me, speaking as us. Man, I take it on whenever I can, when I know it feels right. So you'll have to make that decision. But obviously, you can see the opportunity there, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other questions?
Yes. Spurred on by the previous callers. I was listening to people saying that they go to the post office and ask permission to post their notices. Well, that's public property. That board is considered a public forum. Again, forgive me for sounding like a lawyer. I really don't like doing this anymore. But for them to say no, we won't take your posting for homesteading, but we allow other types of posting. That would be considered a content-based discrimination, and that would subject the Postal Service and the individual who said, no, you can't do that, to a civil rights lawsuit. Now, granted, you may not want to file the civil rights lawsuit, but informing them of what they're doing wrong will probably get them to second-guess and reconsider telling that person, no, you can't post the notice.
Yeah, I take for granted that we have the ability to figure out common sense for ourselves and our situation with dealing with other people, and maybe very interesting people. Well, that guy can put his thing up that I can't, should be common knowledge. Right? That's just big. So, yeah, you got it right. It's a public service for us. We get to use it. How's the weather up there?
It was raining today, and it wasn't so bad. At least it got rid of some of the snow. But it's cold. I don't like cold.
Right on.
One more question, if I may.
Clarification
on the spiraling. Now, I've heard you talk about spiraling the water to get the energetics, and I did some research on different vortices that are sold out there. And there's that technology, and there's also another technology that they call a vortex, where instead of spiraling the water, the container is filled with glass and silicon spheres, and it causes the water to go around those spheres and then smash together, and they claim that provides the same energetics as spiraling the water. Can you comment on that? Is that true?
Yeah. So as long as you can, as long as you can get it to re-energize, is all I'm stating. So, do you want to use wind, rocks, jewelry? It doesn't really matter for the water. The water is going to get recalibrated, reconfigured to the resource you're using. The rifling and pipes, for me, is a little more efficient because of our residential, if this is a residential application, because we have copper pipes and we have wells and so forth. So that it's a little easier adaptation, in my opinion, but I don't want to knock the technology because I've seen it also in an industrial application, what you're talking about, where it's
yes.
easier to put in to systems in industrial application. Most ethanol plants, they spend about $250,000 a month on chemical treatment for their process. If they would put a Vortice on, they would remove that cost. $3 million a year, whatever the number is of being charged. But I have seen them successful in industrial plants.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And thank you for the call and all the questions.
Beautiful, beautiful day to you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling in. All right, let's do line 4. BBS Radio, thank you for all your help today. Let me see how I'm doing on time. Oh, getting down there. Oh, I get the next show too, so sometimes I'm lazy. Shelly from Arizona on line 4. Is there a directory or is it possible to create a directory for all the people involved in your process for homesteading across the U.S.? Shelly, what's your idea there?
Maybe not a... Oh, and thank you for everything you do and the team and BBS Radio. Thanks for taking my call. Maybe not as much a directory for the homesteading, but all these people who are doing wonderful things like a coffee shop or co-ops or farming. I called you a month ago. I was in Kansas heading to Arizona, and I had a lot picked out that I convinced myself I wanted to homestead. And I got here, and I went to pee on it, and somebody already occupied it. And I went out to BLM, which last week you mentioned the BLM on Arizona-California border where I was parked, but I realized I don't want to sit still. The only reason I want a homestead is because I want to be a part of the Q train and everything that's going on. And every time I try and tell people about the homesteading, nobody believes me. And I'm like, if I just do it, I'll show everybody. And then I'll give the homesteading patent to somebody because I'm going to move. I'm just in a motorhome and I just can't sit still. So I'd like to go visit everybody.
Well, that is my passion too. So we have a PRQ team, individual who loves checking things out too. And what's wrong with educating and distributing these packets to everyone and explaining how to do it? What's wrong with that? That's what you're doing. You love it.
Yeah. I'd love to knock on doors and say, here, you're free and sovereign on your land. You don't have to pay taxes anymore. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. And that's why I referenced NARLO as many times as I have, is because if they would just get inspired, they would see all the work's been done for you if you just reevaluate where, what, and how we are. Any other questions?
I don't think so. I just love everything going on, and I want to be a part of. So thanks for taking my call.
My great love to you. My great love to you. Thank you so much for calling in today, everyone. We're going to do PRQ timelines next for 1 hour. And then BBS, can you remind me of the show I'm being interviewed on so I can get a shout out there real quick? I don't want to. Can you type in the next show I'm going to be doing for you? The Awakening Wave. The Awakening Wave show. I will be interviewed on that show. And I think I'm nervous. Anyway, stay tuned. Next hour will be PRQ timelines. I'm going to go through a couple Ben Fulford items. I'll show you how timelines are created that are constructed, and we'll have a little fun with it. And BBS, thank you for your help. Please, please look at forthepeople.space, forthespirit.space, and the PRQ team. I thank you so much, and I'll be calling soon. My love to you all. Thanks for listening in. See you next hour.